Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore. We're back for our ninth level 33.1. We have Mr. Lance Laster.
What's up?
Mr. Casey Cochran.
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate you making this a weekly thing.
That's right. Breaking news requires more roundtables. We got Mr. Kev Gillis.
Hey, what's up?
And we have a new member of Level 33.1. We're very happy to welcome Mr. Darren Kirsch to Level 33.1. What's up, Darren?
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Gotcha.
Got another one.
Right on. We gotcha.
Welcome aboard. Hope you find that this is a good use of your time and resources to be a part of us here.
100%. 100%.
So tell us a little bit about your fandom, how you like became a Superman and Smallville fan, and then how you ended up finding the podcast.
For sure. Yeah, well, I mean, I've always been a Superman fan, even since I was a little kid. I grew up with Superman, the animated series, and obviously the Christopher Reeve movies. I mean, they're absolutely incredible. But I didn't actually get to watch Smallville, didn't even realize or know about it until pretty much after I graduated high school, and after the, like, right after the show ended. And then after that, I was just, like, all in. Like, I was just watching, like, the reruns at like 5 a.m. or 3 a.m. that would air. I'd just DVR it of like season 3 or season 8. Yeah. So then I was just like, you know, I want to see the whole thing, you know, because it's like, this is so different, like season 3 to season 8. You know, I want to see the progression of it. Yeah. So I bought the whole box set, all 10 seasons, all the bonus material and stuff like that. And it's been a while since I watched it all the way through, but I still watch an episode here and there from time to time. And it's a show that never seems to age to me.
Mm-hmm. How'd you find the podcast?
I've been kind of looking at finding more podcasts in general to listen to, and so I just looked up topics that I liked, you know, like, is there anything Batman or is there anything Superman? And I came across this and I was like, this is a must, you know. And obviously it's obvious since I'm here, so.
Well, cool, man. Good to have you. Glad you found the show and happy to have you as a listener. You've been a longtime patron. You just recently upgraded to 33.1, but you've been on the Patreon for I think since the beginning, I think.
Probably.
So, or at least
probably
near to it. So, yeah. So, some exciting news this time, guys. Mm-hmm. It's funny that, so we were, so number 8, we recorded before the Michael Keaton news, and it came out after, and we're like, well, there's nothing much to talk about. Blah, blah, yeah. Blah. So we sound like idiots.
Just like that.
Yeah, it's exactly how it sounded. And as a listener, you would know. You weren't there, so thank you for your feedback. And big news, people. Like, this is ridiculous news. This is like, if you told me this, I'd say to you particularly, stop going to We Got This Covered, because this is nonsense. like Michael Keaton is coming back as Batman in the Flash movie. Like, what are you talking about?
So. You use the correct word, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hey, Zach, I mean, you know, I messaged you about it, and as I told you when I messaged you, I Googled it this time to make sure it wasn't just the one site that was coming up. I saw it on Entertainment Weekly and other stuff, so I was like, I knew this was legit this time.
So this is insane. Like, this is what we've always talked about, hopefully. We'll get into it. There are a lot of thoughts and feelings and emotions, but so Darren, you're new, man. Let's get your hot take. What's your take on Michael Keaton coming back as Batman? Are you a fan of Michael Keaton as Batman? What are your thoughts on that and then seeing him potentially come back in new movies?
I mean, I'm a fan. I mean, I always enjoyed the Batman 89 and Batman Returns. I don't really know how I feel about this, though. I always take a wait and see approach until at least I see something like a trailer or something to at least get a better feel for what it's going to be, because I have no idea what's going on anymore in terms of like the world we seem to live in nowadays, where you have Michael Keaton as Batman and Robert Pattinson's Batman and Ben Affleck might still be Batman. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's funny that Robert Pattinson is not like the most relevant Batman. Nobody cares about you, man. All right. Nobody cared before. And they really don't care now. At least that's my opinion. But so, Casey, what's your take on Michael Keaton coming back? Potentially. That's still rumor, right? It's still like negotiations taking place. Some insiders like, hey, it's a done deal. They're just working on the details. Other people are like, yeah, man, it still could fall apart. We don't know, but we're gonna presume with our conversation that he is coming back. So what are your thoughts, Casey?
Well, I think it's great, and it's Flashpoint is the perfect story kind of to go with to get him to come back. And it's I think it's what DC needs. They need to pull a rabbit out of their hat after what they've done in the past few movies, with the exception of Aquaman and Shazam, and of course Wonder Woman.
They're on the right track, I think, when this is something out of left field. So, I mean, really, though, that's three out of the last four movies have been good, right? So they're on the right track. They just have a Batman situation they need to fix. I guess this is their solution. So Kev, what do you think?
All right, so I wasn't excited for the Flash movie. Then I see a video of him like choking someone, going crazy. Now I definitely don't want to see the movie. And now they're trying to pull me back by dangling this carrot of nostalgia, which I think they're doing that a lot these days with everything. Trying to dangle like, hey, remember when this was good? Please come see our movie because no one wants to see it. If Michael Keaton was going to come back, or if he is coming back as Batman, I don't want to see it in a Flash movie. I want to see it in a Batman movie or a Batman Beyond movie. I don't want to see him paired up with goofy Ezra Miller cracking jokes, you know, being all awkward. And that's just, I mean, it's cool. I mean, who doesn't want to see Michael Keaton play Batman? I guess we'll take him any way we can get him, really. But this is like the last way I would have expected to see Michael Keaton as a Batman. So I don't know. I'm taking a wait and see, you know, but, do we even know if it's going to be like the legit? I mean, I'm assuming because of Michael Keaton, it's going to be the Batman 89. Like,
going to be that character. He's not just playing a Batman. He's playing his Batman. That's the understanding. So,
oh man, this is going to be a trip. This is going to be a trip.
I know. So Lance, I know you feel the same as Gamonte, very similarly about this.
I do, because they're wasting our time by going like, oh, he's going to be Batman, but in a Flash movie. Like, what are we doing? Casey, you mentioned, you know, like DC needs to pull a rabbit out of hat. The rabbit out of the hat is Michael Keaton is old Bruce Wayne in Batman Beyond. Stop wasting our time by trying to get this Flash movie that for some reason the execs are so like damned and determined to get off the floor. Like for some reason, they're always like, oh, yeah, the Flash movie guys. And like, you know, he and I have always been like, who cares? And especially after this choker incident, like, why do we keep trying to give this guy like, more and more chances? And now we're going to give him this movie. And the only reason why they put Michael Keaton in it is because they know that nobody cared about the Flash, you know, without him. People are. And the thing is, like, when if this movie happens, right, people are going to go to it because it has Keaton in it. And then they're probably going to write more Keaton stuff in it because they know that people want to write, you know, watch Keaton. And so if that's the case, then just have Keaton in his own thing instead of making a Flash movie, quote unquote, and having, you know, Batman in it and have him dominate it like Batman dominated Batman v Superman instead of us getting a Man of Steel movie. It's funny, like you mentioned, like, you know, well, three of the last four movies have been good. Well, yeah, what about the movies that came before that, though? Not so good. Okay. Like, so like, if you're being honest, right? Like the track record is not very good. Think about it. We don't want a Flash movie. If we want a Batman Beyond movie. And if you're going to give us a Flash movie, make it a Flash movie. Don't make it a Flash movie, but here's Batman. Because like adding Batman to your thing is not going to automatically make it like, you know, this like great thing. And that's DC's problem with all of their properties. Not only like cartoons, but comics as well. They was like, oh, we have this new team and we could have this new and exciting thing. It's like, oh, but Batman's in it. Like we are oversaturating Batman. I love Batman. He's my favorite character. But like we don't need him in every single thing. Right. If you're gonna have a Flash movie, make it a Flash movie. Right. Don't give us Flash movie guest starring Michael Keaton. Who cares? Like, no, I don't want Michael Keaton guest starring anything. He's Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton is his own thing and deserves his own thing. Rant over.
Lance, how do you really feel?
when is this movie coming out? Like 20?
Never. Never. Is the answer. Flash is attached to it.
Okay. So let's give it a year or two. Right. We're gonna spend a year or two fantasizing about how exciting it's going to be to see Michael Keaton being Batman. It's going to remind me of something just a few months ago. We were super excited about a character we all wanted to see again coming back.
I've been here. I'm ready. I to quote To quote Michael Scott, I am ready to be heard again.
Yes, right? That's exactly what's going to happen.
I am
it's
ready.
It's not going to be anything we think it's going to be. Well, and that's why it's going to suck.
Apparently, I'm the most excited about this, which is rare for me. I don't get excited about anything. All right? It's true. All right? Although I've been watching the new season of The Twilight Zone this weekend. It's excellent. I highly recommend it. So, CBS All Access, $9.99 a month without commercials, $7.99 a month with commercials. But anyway, they don't sponsor my show. I'm not here to talk about them. I'm here to talk about me. So it's good to see things like that, to know that, like, okay, I'm not just a bitter old fan at this point who, like, hates everything new. So I like it when I see new things and I love them. That's why I say that. But my point is, I'm very excited about this. Like, as a child of, I'm born in the 80s, but a child of the 90s, you know, like, you're born in the late 80s and you grew up in the 90s. The Michael Keaton Batman movies were everything, because there was nothing else. All right. You waited for a Batman movie every 2 or 3 years and that's it. There was nothing on TV until Lois and Clark showed up, and that's its own conversation. But it's like, I have every, like, Batman Returns toy. I have the Wayne Manor, I have the Batwing, I have the Bruce Wayne with the Batman sweatshirt on for some reason. That's not a good way to keep your secret identity. You know, I have, like, all Arctic Rescue Batman, Scuba Dive Batman. Like,
Laser Batman, the gold one?
I don't have that one.
Okay.
So for people who are young enough to remember this, like, this was huge, right? And then, of course, you know, they went on to Batman Forever and Batman Robin, but, like, the point is, like, these 90s Batman movies were everything at the time. And then there's always been the, oh man, I wish Michael Keaton would have come back, right? I mean, definitely. I mean, Batman for it's weird because there's a cleaner break now between Batman Returns and what came after, because Michael Keaton left. Had he stayed, Joel Schumacher still would have recast Billy Dee Williams, because he had worked with Tommy Lee Jones on another movie. I believe it was The Client. And so he, like, really liked him as a lawyer. And he's like, oh, we got to put him in here. So that still would have been weird. And they would have looked all different. And so I think it's for the best. There's, like, a clean break. Unless it was going to be Tim Burton and Michael Keaton come back for a third one, I think it's good there's a clean break. Now, I love Batman Forever. Like, it's a very flawed film, but that's, like, a blockbuster of my youth, you know? And complete side note, it's ironic, awkward, and bittersweet that Joel Schumacher died the same day that this news came out. It's like, did they plan this? It's like, that's just so, it feels in bad taste to be like, hey, Joel Schumacher's dead, Michael Keaton's back as Batman. It's like, it feels bad to say that. By the way, Joel Schumacher, he's a great filmmaker, by the way. He gets unfairly maligned for his two Batman movies. Like, Falling Down is an excellent movie. Phantom of the Opera, I love. I mean, I loved the musical, and I think he did a great job with it.
He did The Lost Boys, too,
yeah,
right?
The Lost Boys, St. Elmo's Fire. You know, Phone Booth with Colin Farrell. I mean, these are good movies. This guy's solid. But all people talk about is, like, he made the Batman movies with the nipples. I'm like, all right, people, let's, like, I get
it's just bat nipples. They don't even talk about the movie. They're just like, oh, bat nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, there's more to it than that. And Batman Forever is a very entertaining blockbuster. People forget that it was extremely successful, extremely popular, extremely mainstream.
It just gets roped in with Robin.
Robin just pulls it down. Yep. So, anyway.
Kind of like how The Flash is going to pull this down.
Well, yeah, perhaps. But, see, so my point here about this, I'm very excited about this. If they can lock him into multiple films, like, this is a stepping stone, and then now you get Batman Beyond.
But
now,
see, that's flawed, though. Like, why are you excited about, like, a possibility?
Because
until the possibility becomes the actual, hope, it's only a distraction.
Hope is all,
and that's
we
exactly
have.
What they're doing.
Even
they're distracting us.
The night
because it's probably
is
darkest
just
work.
Before the dawn.
They know, and it's not going to work.
Hope is like a river.
It's like a river.
Oh no!
I have zero confidence in them, and it's like contingency based. It's like, oh well, you can get this. If this happens, no, just do this instead.
Well, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna toss to you guys, Darren and Casey, but because I know we've been talking a lot here, but I think it's smart to do this because I personally, I know there's a lot of people out there feel the same way. Did not give two whatevers about a Flash movie. I thought it was a joke and thought it was never gonna happen. Now I'm like, it's must see. I must see it immediately. And now they're gonna get money because you put Michael Keaton as Batman in multiple movies. People are gonna go see those movies. Like, that's smart. I think the same reason, but I disagree with it. The same creatively. So I understand where you're coming from. The same reason they put Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., and Spider-Man Homecoming was like, oh, well, it's like Iron Man 5. Let's go see that, right? It's like, no, it's a Spider-Man movie, right? So if they do that and they use that to spin off into Batman Beyond, then I'm here for it. So
Batman Beyond doesn't need to be spin off into.
But you're going to get people go see it who wouldn't go see The Flash otherwise.
I think you guys need to agree to disagree.
Casey, what are your thoughts?
Well, let me think. I had thoughts, but you guys kept going. Oh, I remember. as much as people maybe do not, I mean, not maybe, but as much as people do not want a Flash movie, I think it just might be the one thing that DC needs, that everyone needs right now to fix the DC universe. Because
how can in-universe reboot, right?
Right. How can you do an in-universe reboot without the Flash, who can travel through time and possibly change something here or there? And, you know, the whole Flashpoint comic book storyline, basically it reset the entire comic universe. So DC's got problems and they need to find a way to fix it. And that might, to me, that seems like the only way to fix it and keep the successful characters in the mix while maybe phasing out the unsuccessful characters.
Yeah, it's like Star Trek 09. It was an in-universe reboot. I think that's pretty clever. So they can use that to do that. That's smart. But so Darren, man, we've been talking a lot, man. What are some more thoughts you have on this situation?
Hearing the Michael Keaton news actually kind of reminds me a little bit of kind of like what, like, they kind of saw what was happening on the television side with Crisis on Infinite Earths, and they're like, man, like, we should do that on the movie side of it too, and with the Flash, you know, and just thinking like, the Flash movie has always been said that it needs to differentiate from the TV show. And because with the TV show was more character driven, like, they need, and lower budget, they need to make this big epic kind of movie. And it is a little weird that Flashpoint would be the first movie of a Flash movie that actually gets made, if it ever does. But I don't know. I mean, I don't have Dallas here to back me up. I'm not as I don't hate the DC movies as much as others, but hey, you know, I just want continuity, and we're getting the Snyder cut, so I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm with you there. No, I mean, if they were going to do Flashpoint, which it looks like they're going to be doing, they already had people in place from their current movies.
They could have done Jeffrey it with Dean Morgan and Thomas.
That's what I was like. Oh, that'll fix it. So bringing in Michael Keaton is like, well, that's odd. I mean, it's cool, but why?
I think it's marketing. It's money, man. That general audiences, they're not gonna, oh, that the guy from Supernatural's dad is Batman, who cares? Or The Walking Dead now, we know it was Danny Duquette from Grey's Anatomy. That's right. How Lance and I first met him in college.
That's the comedian.
His character was what was, yo, I guess, yeah, that was after Grey's Anatomy.
It was
college when that came out. Yeah, it's a ridiculous character on Grey's Anatomy. He was this recurring character who was like, I don't know what was wrong with him, but he was always in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he fell in love with one of the nurses, Katherine Heigl, back before she blew up. And then the rise and fall of Katherine Heigl. Where's the YouTube video on that? I want to watch that, because she just was everywhere, and then she's nowhere now.
Yep.
But they fell in love or whatever, and then he died. We watched it for a couple years in college. What are you going to do? The reason we started watching it, just for the record, is these work, by the way. We watch. So note to all the networks out there listening to us. I guess it was ABC showed the Super Bowl that year. Right?
Yes.
And then afterwards, they showed, like, Grey's Anatomy. And so we started watching it, and it was a great episode. It was like a bomb in the hospital.
The coach from Friday Night Lights was in it.
Kyle Chandler was in it. Christina Ricci was in it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Does anybody know what we're talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. That is the first episode of Grey's Anatomy I ever watched. That is also the last episode of Grey's Anatomy I ever watched.
Well, it doesn't work on everybody, fair enough. And then after that, I believe we watched Spider-Man on TNT.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
I did like the episode. I just I'm not one to get into a series midway
through.
We have
a code,
so I didn't.
Black. Anyway,
code black. We have a code black.
Diddy Duquette. So Jensen Ackles and Dad on, and the other one's what's the other one's name? Jensen Ackles and
Walker Texas Ranger.
Jared Padalecki.
Walker Texas. There we go.
Jared Padalecki.
Thank you. Yeah. Walker Texas Ranger and Jason Teague, their dad on Supernatural could have been Batman. But you tell, seriously, you want to market a movie like to normal people, not us. We're not normal. Let's face it. All right. But normal people, they're like, who? But you tell normal people like Michael Keaton, like, Michael Keaton? Well, I got to see that. Right. Because not only is he Batman to us, like, he's an Oscar nominated actor last year. He's a great actor. I think he's always been a great actor, but he's got a lot of finally some award accolades and some best picture winners. So he's hot stuff. So I think that DC is cashing in on nostalgia, casting in on like the Keaton sants, right, of the last few years, if you want to call it that. So I think it's smart business. I understand the frustration, because what have we been saying for years? Just make a Batman Beyond movie with Michael Keaton, right? Just do it.
Yeah.
And everyone will understand.
And it shouldn't be contingent upon if a Flash movie is good or not.
I don't think it's contingent.
Yes, it is. Because if this movie fails, they're not going to make it.
It's not going to fail. You know why? Because Michael Keaton's going to be it. That's why it's not going to fail.
Michael Keaton was in Spider-Man Homecoming, and that thing was not good either.
I enjoyed that. Certainly, he was the best part of it.
You guys
don't even know. When we get to the MCU, we have the hottest takes on the Spider-Man. It's you know, you don't even know. It's going to be like 3 years.
I'm waiting for you to do 3 years.
Well, no, we got to get. Here's the plan, everybody. We got to get through all the live action movies before we get to the MCU. So there's not. I mean, that's like your grand finale, though. That's your end.
It is.
The MCU is our end game. Hopefully, y'all can appreciate that.
I see what you did there. I understood that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. MCU.
So perhaps the 5 years will have passed that happened between Infinity War and Endgame by the time you get to those.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right. So get through all the live action comic movies, and then do the MCU, and then I guess do animated movies. So,
yeah.
Starting with Batman: Mask of the Phantasm, the greatest Batman movie.
That's correct.
With the greatest Batman, Kevin Conroy.
That is correct.
So, everybody knows that live action, right? That's I always try to say, like, the best live action Batman. Kevin Conroy is the best Batman, right? Ben Affleck is my favorite Batman, and Michael Keaton is Batman. So, that's how you break it down. That's what we're talking about here. A few things on Batman Beyond. Darren, did you watch Batman Beyond? Are you a Batman Beyond fan?
As a kid, I watched a little bit. Yeah, I'm definitely familiar with it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Would you be excited for a Batman Beyond movie?
Oh, for sure, especially with Michael Keaton. Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Would you be more excited for a Batman Beyond movie to have been announced instead of a Flash movie that is guest starring Batman?
Well, the Flash movie is its own enigma. It's its own. See what I did there? It's its own thing. Yeah. So,
enigma.
I don't know.
You know, who knows? They might be planning to announce that once they get Michael Keaton under contract.
Right. I think they're working on a multi-picture deal with him.
That's a failing on their business side if they think.
I think it's a smart deal. I know you're very offended by the fact that this exists, but I don't think you get. I don't think we get him without them needing him to fix the Flash, right? Because the Flash has got all kinds of problems. I think what it's gonna, and these are some of the rumors right now, is that it's contingent on he wants Tim Burton to come back and direct Batman Beyond. Now, is Tim Burton the best choice for that? Absolutely not. Like, I think Denis Villeneuve. I already say his name. I can never say it.
Oh, yeah.
Blade Runner 2049. That's Batman. That's what Batman Beyond should look like. Blade Runner 2049. I mean, he's a great filmmaker, too. He's made some great movies. That he'd be my first choice. But look, you get Michael Keaton. In order to get him, you need to get Tim Burton. That's fine. All right. Get a good art director. You know, do all that.
They could have pitched that from the beginning, you know.
Well, I understand. That's let's agree to disagree.
But you see the logic here.
As soon as the Flashpoint movie comes out, we will immediately do a commentary on it. I promise you.
I might actually fly down just to see his reaction in theaters.
Everyone here is welcome to go see Flashpoint when it comes out. Fly on down, assuming the world still exists.
Yeah, I know, right?
And you can travel and you can go see movies. Everybody fly down to Houston. We'll go see Flashpoint together because that's a Flashpoint. Flashpoint in and of itself.
Because I have to see this.
Look again. I hope if that's what we end up getting, like with all these things, I hope they're good. But the thing is, like, I'm real enough to understand that. Based on track record and what they're planning and how they're going about it, I'm not going to like give my hopes up.
Lance, I got a question for you. What was the best movie you've ever seen that you expected to be a disappointment?
The best movie that I've ever seen that I expected to be a disappointment?
Yeah, like you were totally expecting it to be a complete disappointment and it blew you away in a good way.
Kick-Ass.
Oh, you expected to be disappointed by that.
Mm-hmm.
Kick-Ass like, 2, on the other hand.
Yeah, I know. Well, it actually wasn't all that bad. We'll talk about that soon on a commentary.
It's coming up down the road.
No, because I had read the books, and when I saw the trailer, I was like, how are they going to possibly do this? And then they did it. I had very low expectations for the first Kick-Ass, and I was very pleasantly surprised.
Is the opposite of Spider-Man 3.
Yes.
Yeah. That's got to be the most disappointing movie ever. Spider-Man 3, because there was no reason for it to suck.
There was no reason.
Yeah. It's
because
true.
You're like, you look at the Superman movies and the Batman movies, you're like, all right, they had actors and directors change, but they got everybody back. Sony's fault, because they made him use Venom, and here we are. So, most disappointing movie I've ever seen in the theater. I guess The Last Jedi, but I was so like, I had such whiplash from The Last Jedi, I didn't know what I had seen. And then I went home and I was like, they just ruined Luke Skywalker. But anyway, Batman Beyond, right? I think what they it needs to be Terry McGinnis. All right, I don't want to be changing any. Hey guys, look, it's Barbara Gordon's Batman Beyond. No. It needs to be Terry. Batman Beyond is a thing. All right, it's a property. Right, mm-hmm. Like
a successful one too.
Change whatever else you want, but you need to have Bruce Wayne, old man in the chair, and mm-hmm. Terry McGinnis, young guy in a bat suit.
Yeah,
and that's what I need. And change anything else you want. And it'd be so cool to see that thing in live action.
I know, especially if they greenlit that a couple days ago instead of what we got.
You're gonna get your Batman Beyond movie, all right?
Maybe. Maybe.
Listen,
and we're definitely not gonna get if this Flash movie doesn't get picked up.
So we all gotta go see.
Spoilers: it might not, because they keep trying to get it off the ground and it's still not working.
I am paying $12.99 a month in order to get the Snyder Cut. All right. Okay. So,
well, it's not gonna be my fault if it chokes.
Batman Beyond, though, right? I think I don't know how it all depends on how long you can get Michael Keaton, right? Do you do one movie? Do a trilogy? It'd be great to do like a trilogy, like a whole series, right?
Of Batman Beyond movies? Yeah, who would be?
I would say, the problem is if you do Batman Beyond, everybody's seen Return of the Joker, the movie? Anybody?
Yes.
Everybody seen it?
Yes. No?
All right, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but Return of the Joker is great. It won't work in the Burtonverse because the Joker died in Batman 89. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess they could find a way to, copycat. There are ways they could get around it. But I think that would, if I was going to make a Batman Beyond trilogy, that would be the third one. And the first one would be, the Batman Beyond pilot, where it's, there's Blight, who's the green skeleton guy. Mm-hmm. Wayne Powers, Derek Powers, right?
Yes.
Takes over Wayne Corp, Wayne Enterprises, whatever it's
Enterprises.
Called.
Enterprises.
Yeah. Yep. And then you have, side villains. And then the second one should just be, I think Shriek and Ink. Those are my favorite Batman Beyond villains. Mm-hmm. And there's an awesome scene in one of the, I think it's the second Ink episode where she comes back. And Terry gets kidnapped, and Bruce has to go rescue him. And he wears this like this Iron Man type Batman armor suit, and he comes out and he fights Ink, and they play the Batman the Animated Series theme. So awesome! So I want to see that scene, but with Michael Keaton in the future. It's great. I got it all planned out.
Cool. Yours is planned out better than current DCEU stuff.
How would you even define the DC Extended Universe per se? How would you even define it? Do you define it as everything that's come out with, Man of Steel all the way up and through Birds of Prey and what, and Wonder Woman 84? Or do you categorize it as after Zack Snyder left and they went in a different direction with Aquaman and Birds of Prey and Shazam? How do you even characterize it?
I count them all. It's starting with Man of Steel forward, because it is it's an extended universe, right? So that means that's such a dumb name.
It almost feels like a multiverse to me, though. Personally.
Right. Well, so. Joker. Right, Joker's in it,
yeah,
and that's a multi. Yeah. That so I consider that's my favorite DCEU movie. If you count it in the DCEU, right? So
movie sucks.
that's why they need a Flash movie so they can tie it all together.
Have Joaquin Phoenix Joker fight Ben Affleck's Batman. That would be amazing. So, I'm here for it. Ben Affleck might come back. There's so many rumors right now. The day we're recording this, Batfleck was trending number five. On Twitter.
I wonder who tweeted that out today.
Yes, thank you.
hey, what if Joker's Joker is Suicide Squad's Joker's dad?
Well, no, see, we actually were joking about this in the commentary. All right?
Yeah.
But I like how you worded that too, by the way.
But we say these things like they're fact, and people are is it real? Is it real?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the idea. But there's this huge rumor that the Jared Leto Joker was Jason Todd, right? The second Joker. Well, who's the first Joker? Well, obviously Joaquin Phoenix, because as we saw in Joker, the Waynes died in 1981, as they did in BVS. So, ergo, yeah. And then he killed Dick Grayson, I guess. Right? That would be my. So yeah. So if I was really going to do it, right? I think this is an insane theory, but why not? Right? They made Dick Grayson the Joker in The Dark Knight Strikes Again. Everybody loves that graphic novel. So.
No, they don't.
It's not good. It's not good. You have Bruce Wayne, Jason Todd first Robin, Joker turns him into another Joker, Dick Grayson second Robin, second Joker Jason Todd kills second Robin Dick Grayson because he's jealous of him, and that's why you have the Joke's on You, Batman thing in the Batcave.
And so when would this take place?
Before everything we saw.
In what film?
They'll make a Batman movie like they're making a Black Widow movie that took place 5 years ago.
So they're not going to make a sequel to Joker?
It's an extended universe. They can do anything.
Oh, but then if they do a sequel to Joker, then it is no longer considered cinema, because cinema couldn't possibly have sequels
and
world building and all this other stuff that happens in movies, right?
I think if they do make a sequel to Joker...
Talking to you, Todd Phillips.
They might. Still, you're still my boy, Blue.
That's his best movie.
Old school. As long as they keep Pattinson away from all this, that's all I'm.
Watch Pattinson end up having the best movie after all this other
that
stuff.
That would be
like,
funny. I will admit it. If I love the movie, I will be admitted. But no, right now, I have no interest in him.
My hot take is that movie's going to rock. That's my hot take. I think it's going to be great.
We'll see.
That's my hot take.
All right, okay. I got another question for Lance. All right, since you didn't like Joker,
he just wants all these hot takes. He sees that you're you got hot takes coming.
Did you like Joker better or worse than the Birds of Prey movie?
Did I like it better than the Birds of Prey Joker? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, better or worse? Which one's a better movie?
By a hair, Birds of Prey, because Birds of Prey made me laugh.
What? Birds of Prey. Oh man. Wow, we need to talk after this.
Because I cannot.
You're
going to
throw
out
the pay. You're going
to
throw out the pay.
I haven't watched it yet.
There are definitely things that I absolutely hate about Birds of Prey. We'll talk about it in a couple months. But if as far as ranking it, right, I'd have to rank it above Joker.
Wow. I rank it second to last, right before Suicide Squad. That's where I rank Birds of Prey.
Okay.
So.
Well, Birds of Prey, our system is, it's not as similar because you have it so far up there, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that'll be a fun commentary.
Speaking of Suicide Squad, we have the Suicide Squad coming out too, don't we? Or Suicide Squad 2, or whatever it's called.
I forgot about that.
James Gunn?
Yeah.
I have no interest in James Gunn's The Suicide Squad.
Well, maybe they'll put Michael Keaton in it.
John Cena's in it, man.
Yeah, that's like he's like Michael Keaton. Let's get excited about John Cena.
Actually,
it's Suicide Squad.
If they put Michael Keaton in Suicide Squad 2, I'm totally there. I'm very excited. So that's what
well,
you
hey,
do.
Ben Affleck was in the first Suicide Squad.
Why is Ben Affleck in all the worst movies? Now I've come around quite a bit on BVS. So I like it quite a bit now. But Suicide Squad is garbage, and Justice League is a nightmare. So you know, but hey, he's going to be in the Snyder Cut. So hopefully,
you know,
it'll be good.
My take on BVS when it first came out in theaters, I absolutely loved it in theaters, but I was really bored rewatching it when it came out on Blu-ray. But I loved it so much, I was like, oh, hey, this is why Marvel's at the kid table, like on Twitter or Facebook or something. Right when I watched it, though. But yeah.
Poorly aged tweets.
Yes.
That's a great account, by the way. Whenever everyone goes to poorly aged tweets, it's hilarious. There's a lot of dark humor there as well, but I recommend it.
Did you Speaking of that, did you see the one where this guy only tweeted twice, and he said he was going to like go take a nap or something, and then 7 years later he tweeted again and said, oh man, I overslept.
Well, hey, so Darren, it's your first time on the roundtable here. What's your take on the DCU? I know you're really excited about the Snyder Cut, but what's your overall thoughts on it? We're on record here with our thoughts. What's your take on the whole thing? Since you asked me about what the DCU itself is.
For sure. Well, I am, first and foremost, I've always been a Zack Snyder fan. Even dating back to like 300, Watchmen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love Watchmen.
Yeah, for sure. So I've always been a fan of his. And then like...
Sucker Punch?
Yeah, even Sucker Punch, yeah.
Excellent. I love Sucker
Punch. He likes it too. That's one thing he does like. So
that's right.
For sure.
I love Sucker Punch.
Yeah, it's like one of the only original things he's done, honestly. Like not based on like, you know... It's like something. He actually wrote this.
What about Legend
too.
Of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole? Was that an original property?
No, that's based on a book series.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I've always been a Zack Snyder fan. And honestly, like seeing my favorite characters come to life, I've always thought I would be most disappointed if the DC movies just try to copy Marvel. And in that, I mean like the tone and you know, like the one-liners and the, you know, like very kid-friendly aspect to it and just building that way, I would have been more upset with that as opposed to doing something radically different, like almost like an inversion of what they're doing. So, and having Christopher Nolan attached and kind of like, I was obviously a big fan of like the Dark Knight Rises. Like, I still think The Dark Knight is one of the best movies ever. So I was always been a big fan of like, so, I mean, obviously like I still, you know, super hot take maybe, but Man of Steel is my favorite movie ever.
Oh, man. Have you listened to the commentary?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking.
Sorry,
I heard you guys talking the last few times about Man of Steel. I think it was the last round table you had Dallas on the ropes, but
yeah.
But no, I mean, and honestly, like the more I watch BVS, the more I fall in love with it. Especially the Ultimate Edition, not the theatrical cut.
Why would anyone ever watch that version again? It's ridiculous. Why they should have never even released that on home video.
I know. I know. So I mean, I was a fan of that, and then like everything that happened with like Justice League and all of that happened, it was just that kind of left a really sour taste in my mouth. I was still a big fan of like I still like enjoyed the Aquaman movie and I actually did like Shazam. It's not that I don't think they're bad movies. It's just my personal taste. I prefer the more that darker, more intense kind of the take on what they did. I liked what they were building towards. I was really interested to see where they're going. So that's part of why I'm really excited about, you know, like the Steen the Snyder cut come to life.
Lance, hearing you getting heated about these things is making me so excited for our podcast coming up. I'm getting pumped.
Like, you know, I don't think I've been like, you know, this amped up on any of these.
Yeah, you got to bring this heat to the commentaries, man. This is good stuff.
Yeah,
people love this.
Yeah,
you know.
Usually he's like, you're an idiot. I'm not going to respond to you at these commentaries. This is good.
Zach, what are you going to do when they, you know, Michael Keaton is in Flash and everyone's excited. And then they're like, hey, we're going to do a Batman Beyond movie. But then they use Robert Pattinson as the younger Batman. What you going to do then?
I'm going to quit this podcast.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I also didn't think Michael Keaton was going to be in a Flash movie either, but here we are talking about it.
That's a good point.
I just, again, like, DC, man, like, why can't you cast, and we've already said this exact thing, like, a dozen times, but why do you have to try to outsmart audiences when you cast people? All right, it's like, hey, we got Robert Pattinson. It's like, all right, because Heath Ledger, Michael Keaton worked, means you have to cast all these crazy people. Like, I've come to accept Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, but that was still not the correct cast.
I was just going to ask you about that.
I've come around on him, right? I think he's a valid interpretation. That's my go-to line for that. But that's not the one we wanted or needed. Like, I'm just waiting.
It's a bad casting. If it's not the one we wanted or needed, it is not the right casting.
Whatever you need to feel to go to sleep at night. Whatever you need to say.
They've nailed Lex Luthor so well on the small screen, right? We got Michael Rosenbaum, John Cryer, John Shea from Lois and Clark. These are all excellent Lex Luthers.
That means that they have a blueprint, so they have no excuse for messing it up.
But they're trying new things, you know? So.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. Like, when people complain about, like, things that, like, well, they're trying new things and doing a new way. Like, you know, like, we don't want to be formulaic. Do people not realize how formulaic, like,
comic books are?
Not comic books. Like, their life in general and the things that they like are. Like, there's a reason why, like, in school, like, you can get a formula chart to help you solve problems. You know why? Because it works. All right? So, like, you know, like, you could have all these extravagant things, but at the end of the day, it comes down to a certain formula, right? Like, if you look at some of the things that we watch, like, every single year, there's a brand new cop, lawyer, and doctor show that's going to happen pretty much from now to the end of time. Maybe not cop shows, but, like, but a lawyer show and a doctor show will always be money makers and will always be something that people do. If you watch football, they run the same probably 17 plays in every single thing, and yet people think it's like, oh, it's so hard to, you know, with my playbook. They make the playbooks difficult, but like they're running the same stuff. Like they just call it different stuff. That's why it's difficult. So like those are just a couple of examples, right? And so, you know, like you don't necessarily need to always try to reinvent the wheel. You just need to do something that works and do it well. Like there's something to be said for doing that. And you don't need to like try to outsmart yourself or think that you're outsmarting yourself in some cases, like DC is with like a, you know, with a Eisenberg casting. He's like, no, that's stupid. Like, why don't you do like it would have been much better if John Cryer was cast in BVS instead. Like that would have worked much better.
And if this thing goes through, Michael Keaton will be the first one to do DC, then go to Marvel, then go back to DC.
Or maybe Ryan Reynolds will in the Zack Snyder cut of the Justice League as the Green Lantern.
That's so stupid.
I'm very excited for that. You guys are just haters.
No! Why? No!
See, this, I am not a hater. These people are haters. Let the record show.
That's not hating. It's stupid. It doesn't fit the aesthetic of what they're doing.
Why are you lumping me in with the haters?
Hey, I'm excited about the Snyder Cut. I said that last time.
I am excited about the Snyder Cut. I'm not excited about like, oh, Ryan Reynolds is going to be in here, guys. Like, no, he doesn't even fit like what they've already tried to previously establish.
They're
going to
put Diggle in it. They're going to put Diggle in it. That's what they're
going to
do.
It's Cavante, you're so right, guys. If you like what you're hearing from Lance, just stay tuned for Always on the Arrow about season 3. It's going to be that for about 3 years.
I thought I was mad. I am so excited to see someone just as mad.
Oh my goodness gracious! So,
guys, I do have a small book question for you guys though. What is your favorite Smallville episode? Maybe not like the best or like in ranking, but just like your favorite personally.
I'll go first since we've had this, Lance and I've had this conversation, so I have an easy answer and let you guys think about it. But I go with Salvation. That's the season 9 season finale. And I just think it's a great culmination of the whole season, the whole arc of that season. And it actually has a satisfying, like, emotional conclusion and, like, an action conclusion, which is something that Smallville always struggled with. Where it's, you know, you look at Doomsday, it's like, oh my God, I was so hyped for this. And then Clark got punched 3 times and then jumped him into the bottom of a well or something. But Salvation, he fights Zod, you know, it's a great ending and a great cliffhanger and all this emotional stuff going on with Lois. So Salvation is personally my favorite episode. And at the time, right, think about this, you had to flash forward to the far future of 2013 where you see, you know, like super, like a CGI Superman save the plane. I'm like, man, if they're showing a CGI Superman now, I can't wait to the series finale. They're going to show us something great. So I was very excited about that. But I go to Salvation. That's my go-to favorite episode of Smallville. So what about you, Lance?
Homecoming. I think it's the promise of the and the premise of the show fulfilled in one episode, to say it succinctly. But there's lots of great moments in it. It's an anniversary episode, so you know that they took it seriously. You know that they put a lot of love and care into it, and it shows throughout all aspects of the episode.
Could have been a good series finale.
Yeah.
They retooled it. Yeah. Kev, what about you?
Lexmas.
Very good.
Cool. I mean, it's cool. I mean, have I not expressed who I am enough yet? I'm all about that Christmas, man.
So, Casey, I don't think we've had your answer about this. I have no idea what you're going to say. What is your favorite episode of Smallville?
I think I got to go with Lance at Homecoming because I love the time travel aspect of it. I mean, Lance pretty much said what all I could say, other than the time travel episode in Lois and Clark, is my favorite Lois and Clark episode where H.G. Wells shows up.
The Tempest.
Yes.
Very good. Well, Darren, what about you, man? What's your answer to your own question?
This might surprise you, but I'm going to go with Slumber.
Are you serious?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Absolutely.
Hot take. Lance, step aside. We got a new hot take. Okay. All right. Cool. Please
This is actually the hottest take on this episode here.
Right. Right.
Blink twice if you're being held hostage. Yeah.
Right. Before you answer, I want to say, hearing what I've said about Slumber and Man of Steel, and to have you still be a patron at the highest level, I respect you, sir. Yeah. So please continue.
For sure. No. And I love your pick too. I mean, that was a great season finale with Zod, for sure. But I mean, when I think about Slumber, it's just more of that personal thing that I relate to it in a sense, and I've always find that like aspect of like the aspect of, you know, like the, not necessarily like time travel, but like going inside your mind and diving deep into some of those like psychological aspects, and that like that alternate kind of like world, almost more of a fantasy in a sense, but they're like, there's like something hidden and you got to like find it inside of your, you know, like deep down kind of a thing. That's just I don't know, there's something about it, I guess, that. And it's not like the scene in the lake, like that's not why, but
the traveler, yeah. The original traveler.
Yeah,
there must be two.
Yeah, and then the ending, of course, with Lana, like that classic line, like maybe in your dreams, Clark. You know, like
So Darren, you must like Labyrinth as well, then.
Labyrinth, yeah. I mean, I'm not super critical of like I look back and I see like there's obviously flaws of the era that it came from. With like CGI and how things were back in the early 2000s, you know, and how different things are now. Yeah, I mean, I like that one for sure.
What about the Fracture in season 7?
Season 7. Let's see which exact episode was that again?
That's the one where Clark goes into Lex's mind, and there's evil President Lex, and there's good kid Lex. He's like, you're my best friend, Clark.
Oh, he like cry every time. Yeah, and then like the kid, like something happens with the kid, and he actually like becomes the, embodies the bad Lex in a sense. Like
that is a different episode.
Oh,
later,
I'm thinking
weird,
of a different one.
Because
okay.
Lex sees his kid self and throws him in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Speaking of fireplace, this is also an episode where evil Lex makes Clark watch Lex and Lana have sex. I believe in front of the fireplace because that's where all the Lex and Lana things happen. Anyway,
maybe I'm just trying to block out season 7 in my mind. Maybe I don't know.
I can't imagine why, yeah, based off what I just said. So,
oh my god,
there are cool moments in season 7.
No, that's some cool stuff. We kind of in the last run to it, we kind of went down season 6. Actually, you know, have we gone down season 7? Let's do that. Pull that up, Lance. But Casey, you have a question.
I just want to throw in something that's different from Lance's because I just thought of it.
Okay.
I can't remember the title.
Is it from season 7?
I don't think so. I feel like it's from season 8. I'm just a little fuzzy on it. And it's the episode where Tori Spelling comes back and Clark tells the world his
infamous
secret. Yes. And I absolutely love that episode. Yeah, it has to be season 8 because he uses the Legion ring to go back and fix
it. Right. Wait, Clark! Davis Bloom is... Oh, sorry, gotta go. Can't wait for that very important information. So we got... Who would like to hear me go down the list real quick on season 7 like we did in season 6 last time?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
What's fun... See, I should have counted how many episodes I said were good in season 6, but I didn't. So we have no way to compare the two. But real quick.
Bizarro.
Good.
Kara.
Good.
Fierce.
Bad.
Cure.
Good.
Action.
Bad.
Laura.
Good.
Wrath.
Bad.
Blue.
Good.
Gemini.
Bad.
Persona.
Bad.
Siren.
Good.
Fraction.
Good.
Hero.
Bad.
You know it's good. Traveler.
Bad.
Veritas.
Bad.
Descent.
Good.
Sleeper.
Bad.
Apocalypse.
Good.
Quest.
Bad.
Arctic.
Bad. There were a couple good ones in there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know Hero's going to be the episode you enjoy the most, even though it's bad.
Well, Scriptonite free. God, what a terrible episode.
The only thing they could have done more obvious than making Kryptonite gum would have been making Kryptonite Mountain Dew.
Oh man, they missed that's a mismarking opportunity right there.
They don't need Mountain Dew doesn't need Smallville. All right, Stride Gum apparently did in 2000 whatever year that was. 2000.
That's true. Didn't Mountain Dew at the time have like Tracy McGrady? Remember those commercials?
Oh
like,
man,
Tracy McGrady.
Do the Dew.
Yep.
I do know Mountain Dew was a sponsor in Superman Returns. I remember seeing their logo on I think the top of a taxi cab in the movie.
Oh, because, Pepsi owns Mountain Dew, right?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, because yes. I still have a big Pepsi 2-liter from Superman Returns. I got a lot of stuff from Superman Returns.
You like the Returns movies, don't you, Zach?
Yeah.
Well, you said you had a lot of stuff from Batman Returns and a lot of stuff from Superman Returns.
That's true.
So, I mean, they just need to get you to watch it, they just need to add Returns to the title.
Batman Returns is the first movie I remember seeing in the theater. Like, all the way through. Like, I remember parts of other movies before that, but start to finish. And I distinctly remember the penguin biting the Stride Gum guy.
Yep.
Tying it all together. The Stride Gum guy is the guy who gets his nose bit off by the penguin. Hashtag, it's all connected.
Yep.
Getting excited now. But I remember them. The penguin bit off this guy's nose, and my mom covered up my face with her hand, like my eyes, because it was
my terrible. Nose could be gushing blood.
Not all the reflective surfaces down there in the sewer. So that's the
first movie
guy.
I remember seeing in theaters is Aladdin. So
there we go. Nice. The live action Aladdin?
No,
yeah.
Haven't seen movies. Waited a long time to go see any movies. Darren, what's the first movie you remember seeing in the theater?
Oh my gosh, maybe something like it had to have been like late '90s. So I'm trying to think of like I came in. It was a Disney movie.
Independence Day.
Yeah, it was definitely a Disney movie. It was something like. Maybe Toy Story or Toy Story 2 or something. Maybe like
far more appropriate for a young person than Batman Returns. So,
yeah.
What about you, Kev?
Yeah, the first
movie. Would you take one of your 5-year-old children to see Batman Returns, Kev?
No.
That's
no.
Why Tim Burton got fired. People like me. All right.
No, I'm still trying to get them to sit down and watch it now.
But it's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
It sure is.
That's why I love it. No, the first movie I went to, oh, yeah, sorry. I almost some of mine. Mortal Kombat was the first movie I saw in theaters.
Nice.
Wow.
My mom was dating a guy, and he took me to, like, connect with me to see Mortal Kombat. I saw Mortal Kombat with a stranger.
That's amazing.
That explains a lot about why he was Mortal Kombat.
That's he was amazing. Like, it's a video game. You like games, right? What, 8-year-old, 7-year-old kid? Let's go do this.
Well, yeah. It's like, hey, it's Batman, right? We just watched Adam West on TV. Let's go see the Batman movie, you know? Anyway, what about you, Lance?
1990, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm.
Nice.
Yep. Hearing Raphael say damn in that movie like several times blew my mind.
Damn.
because up until that, because I was four when that came out, and so 4 year old me, like the only person I'd heard say that word was my father. So like when I see Raphael the Ninja Turtle saying it, I was like, whoa, that was crazy. I had no idea what I was getting in for, but like I can quote that movie from start to finish.
Right on.
What else you got? What else you got, Darren?
What else do I got?
Questions, comments, criticisms, personal attacks. What do you got?
Oh gosh. Since we're having such a great time talking about Batman in this episode, I wrote about this in for one of the websites I write for, Real Anarchy. But I wrote about like embracing the multiverse. I didn't necessarily mean bringing Michael Keaton into things, but I kind of talked about how like with AT&T coming in and taking over like Time Warner and HBO Max, and now with the Snyder Cut, do you think there is an opportunity to kind of branch off and have two different existing kind of things at the same time? Like you can have like Zack Snyder's Justice League, you can have, you know, even like the Ayer cut of Suicide Squad. Do you think there is a place for that on HBO Max to exist at the same time as like say like some of the more like the Flash movie or Wonder Woman 84? Do you think there's an opportunity for something like that to exist?
Yeah, I absolutely think so, because the Snyder Cut's going to be on HBO Max. There's all these rumors about some Batflet project perhaps being on HBO Max. I'd be all about that. I think they're finally understanding that you can have different versions of characters. I think Joker helped with that. I think these other versions are helping with that. So I think that absolutely there's a place to have stuff in the movies and stuff on, you know, we call it TV, call it HBO Max, call it what you will. But you have Superman getting a show. He's getting a series on CW now, right? But there's also no Superman movies going on, so maybe that's why they're letting him do it.
Yes.
But you have the hypocrisy of WB and DC about this is The Flash. You have a TV show.
Yep, bringing it back around.
Like you can't, but it's like you can't, you're telling me that you can't have Batman or Superman on TV, but you have a TV show about The Flash, who's in all these Justice League movies, allegedly, or eventually, and then making his own movie. So I absolutely think that's a great place for that. I think it's a great place. HBO Max should be for alternate cuts, like the Snyder Cut, the Ayer Cut, the Schumacher Cut.
Something different. Something to bring to get people to subscribe long term, right?
Because you need something, right? Because like, what it like
the Elmo show? What? Like what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be their Mandalorian, right? I mean, that's what people are saying, and I 100% think that they have such a wealth of stuff. Put the Wonder Woman pilot on there, right? I mean, I'm just pull anything out.
Justin Hartley Aquaman episode?
Yeah, put it on there. Yeah. Put it on there.
Darren, to your question, don't they currently, like, in the movie, like you're asking, you know, about multiple things existing at once. Currently, we have that issue, right? Because Michael Keaton is allegedly coming back, and there's Pattinson, and there's the possibility of Affleck. So that's three Batman.
It's a fair point.
That are going to be here at the same time. So it's interesting that it's taken them till now. And to your point, Zach, like, you know, after Joker, like they finally realized that you can have multiple things at once, and people aren't going to be so confused that they're not going to go see stuff. People are going to see stuff. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, people will end up having their preference over what they like. But it's not like these things can't exist, because they can.
They do it in comics all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Of course, the rate things are going, they may finish the Flash series before we get the Flash movie.
And I said this on Twitter, and a lot of people seem to agree, is in Crisis Part 4, when Grant Gustin meets Ezra Miller, they shoot that on 2:35:1, aspect ratio, right? That is movie ratio. So I'm like, that's weird. Why do they do that? It's the DCU. Oh, I get it. But no, perhaps they filmed it that way so they could just slide it into the Flashpoint movie.
I'm going to stop you right here. I don't give them that much credit.
All right. Well,
that is a reach, and that is a fan justification going on right there.
What if you're sitting in the theater seething because we went to go see the Flash movie, mm-hmm. and you're so mad, and then you see that pop up? You're gonna get up and leave at that point? Is that what you're gonna? Let's get a preview.
No, but I'll definitely think about it.
now we really need to go watch it with you.
Yeah.
We're gonna live stream Lance and I going to see Flashpoint. Camera right here in our faces. But I think that'd be great. I would love, this is what we always have wanted. We're like, why can't we have a Brandon Routh Superman? Like, I want to see some more Brandon Routh Superman.
Same.
And I think that's I'm down HBO for that. Max HBO is a good Max. Place for
yeah, it. I'm 100% down
like,
for
not
that.
Not even, like, just a movie. I'm not asking for, like, an ongoing show, a miniseries, a movie, something.
Brandon Routh as Superman, Courtney Ford as Lois Lane. Like, let's go.
To quote Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, the
Rick Stroud, shout out to him. I know who that is.
You know who that is? All right. anyway, he's got the local sports podcast here in Tampa. And whenever things happen, he always says, you know, because we can't have nice things. So, like, if the NFL season happens, he's just going to be like, well, we got Tom Brady, but the season got canceled because we can't have nice things. So I feel like it's all the same thing in the DC universe. We just can't have nice things with the DC movies.
I just think you got to have Affleck in a movie at some point. That's such a missed opportunity. That's having Ben Affleck not being a solo Batman movie is like having Tom Brady on your team and not being able to play the season.
That's true.
Kev.
No, I mean, that's my whole issue with the DCEU. Like, it just gives me anxiety thinking about it because it just seems so messed up and they're like trying to patchwork it. And like, these movies were good, so we'll go with this, but then like we might like exclude these characters, and the Suicide Squad movie sucked, but don't worry, we're going to remake it better with James Gunn. We all like James Gunn, right? He did those movies, and the other people, you know, we did that with Joss Whedon. That worked out great. You know, so it's like
have you learned just, nothing? Have you learned nothing?
It's just like even if people didn't like, you know, the direction, like I'm with you, Darren. I didn't mind the darker, you know, the tone. Like you know, I didn't mind it. But I mean, just stick with it. Just do it. Just see it through. Like, they were
just own it.
I was, you know, I think I said before they're the most reactionary, like you know, people ever. But that's probably Star Wars at this point. But yeah. Like,
they are their own enemy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just do what you want to do and get it over with. You're gonna make some money. So what? You don't make $6 billion every time you make a movie like Marvel does. Marvel spent 20 years doing it. That's why they're making that much money. You're trying to like rush it. Just rush it and get it over with. Instead right. of like,
well, yeah, well,
stepping on
we're
your
talking
own toes.
About we're talking about how Flashpoint's a weird choice for the first Flash movie. I think Batman versus Superman and the death of Superman is a weird choice for this the second entry in your franchise, right? Yeah. Like I'm just saying that you could have teased that out. Like let's have a death of Superman trilogy. That's what I've wanted to see since I was a kid, but we're never gonna get it, right? And now we're never gonna get Dark Knight Returns because Dark Knight Returns has been mined for so many other things.
Yep.
Dark Knight Returns has been taken for Dark Knight Rises. It's been taken for Batman v Superman. It's gonna be taken for Michael Keaton. He's gonna come out in a battle suit or something. I guarantee you. You know that's gonna happen. Billy Dee Williams is Two-Face though, right? Come on, like
yeah,
see it. Like I want to see the helicopter. I want to see the first chapter of the Dark Knight Returns be Batman's last night before Batman Beyond. And then he has a heart attack and he tries to kill Billy Dillons with a gun and he throws
it away. So when is this going to happen? Is this going to happen after Flash guest starring Michael Keaton?
That is correct.
Okay.
And then the prologue to the Batman Beyond movie is chapter one of the Dark Knight Returns and Batman with the rifle.
All right. So basically, so we're going to have two movies before we get to Batman Beyond. So that
prologue,
means we're never happening. This is never happening.
Have you seen the first episode of Batman Beyond? All right. He pulls the gun on the guy and then he throws it away. Because as we all know, Michael Keaton's Batman does not use guns and does not kill people. So that is a life-changing moment. Oh, favorite Batmans are murderers.
I just can't wait to see Michael Keaton and his Batman get up and he's standing there looking all cool. And we're like, I can't believe we're finally seeing this on screen. And then the Flash is going to like ice skate in with his weird run.
Oh, man.
And he's going to have weird one-liners. And it's going to be horrible. I have to come down there now to watch this movie with you guys because I'm going to see Lance want to walk away during they do the scene. And then I'm going to watch you walk away when they actually kill Michael Keaton's Batman.
Yeah.
he's gonna make some Batman Iron Man looking suit because we're just going all kinds of crazy like Marvel now. And then like once he like does that, he's gonna just end up sacrificing himself and dying alone in his Batcave.
Oh no. And there's no Batman Beyond movie.
Yep.
And then Robert Pattinson's gonna come in and take over.
Absolutely.
He's gonna go by the code name of Terry McGinnis.
You know what? You should use your real name, Terry McGinnis. Yeah.
The guy, whoever's in charge of the DC movies, they're cat people. They like to dangle strings in front of the fans and then pull them away.
It's true. It's like, hey, you guys, like, I think everyone can agree, no matter where you stand, Ben Affleck's Batman was the best thing of Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was.
Wonder Woman as well. But she got her own movie, didn't she?
That was, which was good.
Yeah. So it's like, hey guys, you like Ben Affleck's Batman? There's so much behind the scenes nonsense that happened there. I can't wait for. Actually, they are writing the guy writing the release of Snyder Cut book. Like, I can't wait to get that book because I'm very fascinated to see all that stuff.
Absolutely, you will love it. I will tell you this, you will love it. I mean, I've talked to Sean. He's a cool guy. I think there's a lot that even a lot of us fans who have followed the movement since the beginning have no idea. And Zack Snyder even has, like, he was interviewed for, like, he actually spoke about it too. It's gonna be in the books. Yeah. That's gonna be awesome to see.
Yeah, so I think the social media age has accelerated stuff like that, like behind the scene, because like in years past, you'd be like, all right, gotta wait 20 years for a book like that. But it's so cool that it's like a living document right now. Like, he had to rewrite the ending I saw because he's like, I finally have an ending. So that's so great that the Snyder Cut's coming out. So yeah, I mean, this has been a fun one, guys. Any last thoughts on anything before we wrap up here?
Michael Keaton shouldn't be in a Flash movie.
I mean, the headline of that article alone is just ridiculous. Michael Keaton returns as Batman in a Flash movie. What? That right there just lets you know that this is not off to a good foot.
It was jarring to see the picture be like Michael Keaton from Batman Returns and Ezra Miller from Justice League just in the same frame. It is very disconnected.
Will they do a Beetlejuice sequel now? That's all I want to know. That's what I'm waiting on. Like, that's what I'm waiting on, a Beetlejuice sequel.
How much do you want to bet that we're going to hear another, like, big surprising casting choice for that Flash movie? Probably from a different former movie that's loved. I don't know. Like, maybe they bring Brandon Routh Superman into the Flash movie. You know, like, I have a feeling that there's probably more to it. They're probably going
there's
for the
gonna
home
do some
run.
Crisis on Infinite Earths thing with the movie
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Well, if he's jumping through universes, right, that just makes sense. And it is, it's so on brand, and I know we mentioned this earlier, but it's so on brand that, like, the movie division, they see what's going on TV. Like, oh, let's do that. Like, it's like, Smallville's doing well, let's make Superman Returns. Oh, they like the Suicide Squad? Let's kill them off on TV and make a movie out of that.
Oh, we're going to talk about, I can't wait.
You guys like Deathstroke? Oh, you can't use him anymore on Arrow because... Flash Thompson from Spider-Man is going to play him and, you know, the Batman.
No, he's not.
So, anyway. Casey, any final thoughts?
Yeah, you kind of just reminded me of a character that I am not... It's probably my least favorite character on Smallville, but I got to get this rant off my chest because I haven't said it yet on here.
Please. Tonight's the night for rants. Please continue.
I do not like Plastique on Smallville.
Oh, you mean... what's her name from The Flash?
I thought you were going to say Deathstroke.
John McCain Deathstroke on Spawn.
John McCain.
That's exactly who I think of when I see Deathstroke, but back then I didn't.
I mean, Nora West? Nora West Allen?
He hasn't gotten there yet on the Flash.
Oh, no!
Hey, that's okay.
Don't worry about it.
Hey, listen. Speaking of spoilers, there's one spoiler you guys have not spoiled for me, and I'm glad I'm not even going to mention it until I find out myself.
Please don't.
We will ruin it.
But from the moment she showed up in the third episode of season, or maybe I think it was the second episode of season 8, I found her to be very annoying.
Plastique on Smallville. Okay. Yeah. God, look at the Flash copying Smallville again. Like, they bring the actress in, they bring the character Plastique in the first season of The Flash. So. Yeah. Come on, guys. Smallville.
See, whoever it was in the first season, she must have been forgettable because I'm drawing a blank as to who
she
was.
Didn't she die?
The Plastique person?
Yeah, the character?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm going to have to look her up and see who she was on The Flash because, mm-hmm. See, to me, that's just forgettable. Like, to meet John McCain,
I'm beyond Deathstroke.
In season 10, I didn't even realize that he was Deathstroke.
Until he had the eye?
Yeah.
No, listen, back then I just didn't know that his alter ego, the name was because he was Deathstroke. I can't even think of Slade Wilson.
Yeah.
Back then I didn't know Slade Wilson was Deathstroke. I didn't really know much, if anything, about Deathstroke.
And then Clark's into the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
what's the actor's name to play Deathstroke in Smallville?
It's Colonel Ty from Battlestar Galactica.
He was also in the recent Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
He was!
Yeah, because he gets mad about them getting Robotnik. And I was like, oh, that's Deathstroke!
That's right. That's true.
See, have you guys seen Doom Patrol at all?
So I've seen a few episodes.
No.
Oh man, there's a cool Smallville person who shows up in a certain role. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like Doom Patrol. At first I was like, this is really weird and bizarre and I don't know, but like, yeah, it's a good show.
It has Brendan Fraser in it. I was like,
I know there's a cool Smallville person who shows up that
nice.
You will know instantly when you see who they are that it's cool.
All right, cool. Is that season one or two?
Season one.
All right, okay. I'm way behind on all those DC Universe shows. Like that's like I got the Arrowverse. I'm trying to catch up with. I got Smallville.
I'm just waiting for them to eventually absorb it in HBO Max and cancel the DC Universe anyway. So
I think. Hey, Darren, do you think that might happen with the DC Universe and the HBO Max, like merging as apps?
Probably at some point.
Yeah, I think the hang up is the comic book part, right? If it was just the
that makes sense. Yeah,
they got to figure out how to incorporate this weird, like, I mean, to them, a streaming. It's like if Netflix added a bunch of books. Like, yeah. What is this? Yeah. So I understand why it's complicated, but that just goes to show you WB not planning things out well. They had any idea they were going to do HBO Max, they would have waited and then found a way to branch this off. But Doom Patrol though actually is on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the other shows are not.
Batwoman's there too.
Swamp Thing.
Oh man, well, it's been a fun one, guys.
Yeah.
Lance, thanks for bringing the fire tonight.
No problem. My team needed me. I needed to step up and get some buckets tonight.
All right. Well, this has been fun as always. Let's go around the round table here and tell people where they can find you. So first off, Darren, man, thanks so much for being a part of 33.1. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you'll be back.
That was a blast. I'm glad to be here. Yeah, you can find me. I'm pretty much on any social media, even Vero. either like at my name, Darren Kirsch, or I think on Twitter is like Darren Kirsch 16, I think. So that's where you can find me.
All right. What about you, Casey?
You can find me at Casey Cochran 53 on Twitter. And Lance, I got a question. Are you on Vero?
I'm not.
Okay, I'm going to steal Sir Lance Laster.
On all your social medias, not anymore.
Oh, that's funny.
I will be your first follower.
No, I'm not going to do that.
All good.
Oh, boy. What about you, Kev?
You can find me on Twitter at chillus, chill_us. I also have a Vero that I haven't used in like a year and a half. And and
it's been out that long?
Yeah. It has been out for a while. I actually got it to follow Zack Snyder way back when. That's the only reason I had it. So, you can find me on there, and you can hear me ranting about Arrow pretty soon on Always on Arrow.
What about you, Lance?
You can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias except for Vero. but apparently that might need to change pretty soon. You will also hear me along with Kev talking all the things that make Arrow Arrow on Always Hold On to Arrow.
Should I get a Always on a small Vero account, just post a bunch of black and white pictures?
Sure, go for it.
I don't even have an Instagram for the podcast, so I'm not getting a Vero. Yeah. All right, so. But anyway, me personally, Moronzach, MoreOnZach on Twitter. I'm also host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue. You can find us on the UFP network with Always on the Arrow over there. So you can find us on Twitter at UFP Earth. As for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMalville with one S. Find us on Facebook at Always Dueling on Smallville. And you can send us an email at Always Smallville, once again, with one S. That's going to do it for us this time on Level 33.1. Thank you all for your membership. And if you want to join the roundtable and be part of these hot takes, you go to patreon.com/AlwaysSmallville with one S, and you can hear Lance rant about anything I like on our 33.1 roundtables.
Oh, man.
But until then, always hold on to Smallville. Always Holding a Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Dallas Hernandez, Cavante Chillis, Chris Fuchs, Casey Cochran, Nathan McKenzie, Jim Thomas, James Bandini II, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe Mikindo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Figuerella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, John Lloyd, Justin Maitner, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sacchi, Rachel Miller, Catherine Emmerich, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Corey Moore, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Catherine Caldwell, Kathleen Holland, Will Hunt, Nathan Ruffcatcher, Clunk Kent, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Coso, Jerry Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Darren Kirsch, Anthony Anderson, Joey Dunberg, and Jasmine Magalie. Thank you so much to all these patrons. You too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.